You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm Austin Meek of WacoBusinessNews.com, and on this episode of Downtown Depot, which is our 20th here on KWBU, I talk with Ellen Mote of EM Jewelry and Design. Ellen's work has been featured in the Magnolia Journal and can be found in boutiques across the country, including Wildland Supply Company on Washington Avenue in downtown. But before we hear my conversation with Ellen, I want to share some important local news with you. This is The Word on the Street. Last Saturday, hundreds gathered at the Waco Convention Center to celebrate the life of Reverend Wilbert Austin Sr. Three Waco mayors, a U.S. ambassador, and many local leaders shared stories of Austin's trademark intensity and intentionality that changed lives in Waco for the better. Sam Brown, a property owner in East Waco and a close friend of Reverend Austin, spoke with Julie Hayes of KWTX about his impact.
Waco has never had a better friend than Wilbert Austin. He was passionate about Waco and he was passionate about his neighbors. I never saw someone who was more willing to get in and get their hands dirty, whether that was confronting drug dealers who were tearing down the neighborhood or helping pass community laws that encourage the revitalization of East Waco and Elm Avenue.
Austin was a civil rights leader who famously fought against segregation in Waco ISD. He was the pastor of Peaceful Rest Baptist Church in Moody and served on the Waco City Council from 2006 until this past May, when he finally stepped down after a long battle with cancer. I never had the pleasure of meeting the Reverend personally, but I learned so much about him at the memorial service and was blown away by his impact. My thoughts and prayers go out to the Austin family and to all of Waco. We lost a great one here, and I hope to carry on his legacy of restoring East Waco into the safe, prosperous, and diverse district he worked so hard for. The documentary What About Waco premiered last night at the Grand Lodge of Texas at 715 Columbus. It tells four chapters of Waco's rich history: the building of the Suspension Bridge, the Waco Tornado, and a particularly newsworthy period between 1915 and 1918. Chris Charles Scott is the writer and director of the film.
I grew up in a small town in East Texas, population 533, called New Chapel Hill, Texas. I came to Baylor as a transfer student, and just everything began to make sense. Everything began to flourish for me. I became a huge part of Baylor. I became a huge part of the community. I ran for city council my sophomore year in 2002. And I got my first job out of college working for Chet Edwards here in Waco.
Scott won the Documentary of the Year Award from the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities for a film he created about the city of Shreveport. He teamed up with local businessmen Hobby Howell and Matthew McLeod and partnered with the Historic Waco Foundation to get this film made about our town. And if you missed it last night, be sure to catch the final show this evening.
The bar opens at 6 o'clock. The show starts at 7:15, and we'll do an after party afterwards. But come, learn some Waco history, come out, support your town.
And finally, a source reached out about the first food hall ever coming to Waco, and I'm telling you, this is going to revolutionize downtown dining. More info to come next week on Downtown Depot. Ellen Mote creates under the moniker of EM Jewelry and Design, and we caught up in the KWBU studio last week. Ellen, thank you so much for joining us here on Downtown Depot. I love starting the show off by asking my guests what their story is, what brought them to Waco. So tell me a little bit about your journey that brought you here.
Well, thanks for having me. My husband and I first moved here in, well, you know, the year doesn't matter. We first moved here when he went to grad school at Baylor. And when he graduated, we wanted to have that quintessential millennial adventure, so we decided to move to Oregon.
So y'all were newlyweds living in Waco while he was at seminary, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he was at Truett at Baylor.
Yes.
And what were you doing at that time?
I was working at Lula Jane's.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Friend of the program, Nancy Grayson.
Hey, Nancy.
Amazing Lula Jane's over there on Elm Avenue. Okay, go
Love
ahead.
Love it. And then, so we moved to Oregon, had a great time there, but Tommy got a job opportunity here in Waco, so we decided to move back in 2015.
And did either of you go to Baylor for undergrad?
Tommy went there for 2 years, freshman and sophomore year, and then he ended up transferring and graduating somewhere else, but I never went to Baylor.
And where did you go to school?
Texas Tech.
Okay, cool. And what brought you over there? Because you grew up Houston area, right?
Correct. Well, here's the thing. I wanted to go to art school, but my parents didn't want me to go to art school unless I went to a more general university first to get my basic credits, and in case I changed my mind, they didn't want me to be limited at a strictly art university. So I went to Texas Tech because my brother went there, and I thought it would be an easy school to transfer out of, but I never transferred out, and I graduated from there.
You can kind of get stuck over there in Level Land, that whole part of Texas.
Yes.
When you go there, it really does just have some sort of property that sucks you in, and it's tough to get out.
And after I got there, I realized they had a metalsmithing and jewelry design program, which not a lot of art schools offered, and after I decided that that is what I wanted to do, or that was the specific art that I wanted to focus on, it made it more difficult to transfer, and I decided to stay.
And what was your experience like when you were there at Tech? What was 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old Ellen like?
Well, I had a unique pattern of making new friends every semester, and because of that, I don't have a ton of friends from college, and by the end of it, I just took school as a full-time job and would go get to the studio at 7 or 8 in the morning and stay till 5 or 6 at night because I knew that this was my only opportunity to have this freedom in life. I didn't work when I was going to school, so I made that my full-time job and tried to learn as much as I could so when I graduated, I would be on a firm foundation.
That's a really rare mindset for an 18-year-old to get college and actually treat it like a job. And with you being able to find such a unique area of study, was that the motivation that you needed? Once you found the jewelry and design program there, is that the motivation that you really needed to start treating school like a full-time job, or had you always been pretty studious?
No, what happened was one day I was working in the ceramic studio. There was a grad student there, and he was saying, you can definitely tell the difference between students who pay for their education and students whose parents pay, because the students who pay their own way work way harder, and my parents paid for my education. And when he said that, I realized I don't want to be one of those selfish, self-centered kids who takes their education for granted. And from that day forward, I completely changed my study habits versus social habits, and my work became the number one over friends. But here's a side note, I didn't have a lot of friends anyway.
Well, it's not because of a lack of charm or anything like that. I'm sure it was just because you spent a lot of time working and there were not a lot of other kids at Texas Tech who would rather, you know, be in the studio on a Friday night than out at the bars.
Oh, 100%.
Tell me about your time at Lula Jane's. What was Elm Avenue like when you were working there? This was before you moved to Portland. So this would
Correct.
Have been 5-ish years ago?
Yes.
Okay.
So I started working at Lula Jane's the third day that they were open, and it was really exciting. Every day was a new challenge, a new experience, always trying out new recipes and engaging with the community to figure out what did people like, what was going to be our technique for engaging with the customers and making it a welcoming place. And Nancy taught me so much. Something I really took away, and you know Nancy, is that anything you want in life, you have to earn it yourself. And life isn't served on a silver platter. which I think in some ways I had a little bit of that mindset that if I showed up, I would get this job, or there was always like a road built for me. But working there, Nancy, she was always teaching me about and telling me about the school that she started and her life and making a way for students in Waco. And she's so welcoming and encouraging. So that was a really fun time. And it was cool, just the friends that I made while working there. And I loved it. Those cookies. Oh, my goodness.
They're amazing. As someone who eats a lot of cookies, I can tell you, the Lula Jane's cookies are amazing. Before you moved to Portland and mm-hmm. came back to Waco when you were working at Lula Jane's, mm-hmm. were you doing jewelry design on the side while you were at Lula Jane's while Tommy was in school? Or was that something that I'd done it for a few years in college and you kind of put it on the back burner to work?
Definitely put it on the back burner. As soon as I graduated, I had some extremely bizarre encounters where people having to do with jewelry design. And so I packed up all of my tools and put them away in boxes and kind of thought maybe that was just a chapter in my life and it's over. And I couldn't understand or see a way to make jewelry for a living, because at least in college in the art department and for metalsmithing and jewelry design, which is what my degree is in, actually making jewelry and a sellable product, a marketable product, is the worst or lamest. It's not the cool thing to do with your degree, even though it's the most practical. So I think I had this idea. Well, after the weird circumstances, I kind of put it away, and I also had this idea that I could only do jewelry design if I was some kind of artist. So I did not get back into it until we were in Oregon and I had the opportunity to work for a jewelry designer there.
How did that opportunity come about?
Well, the thing is, I was working at a bakery and I loved it, but I had a check-in meeting with my boss. And in my opinion, the meeting ended in a way that I felt like my job was going to be terminated. It was a seasonal position. Or they presented it as a seasonal position. So I thought, oh my word, I'm going to lose my job in 4 weeks. I have to get another job. And I knew I didn't want to bake the rest of my life. So I applied. I reached out to a jewelry designer I really admired to see if there would be an opportunity for me there. And it worked out.
So what did you learn in your time in Portland? Because I'm sure it was difficult transitioning from having the classroom education of what to do with jewelry and smithing to actually being on the job and learning how a specific studio runs.
Sure, that was the most interesting thing. That position was definitely like an ongoing education class, because that job really taught me the skills of how to translate what I had learned in college into an actual wearable piece of jewelry. And I already had the basics. You're taught the basics in school, so filing, sawing, cutting, soldering, all that stuff I already knew. And it was just translating it to be in a mass production instead of making one unique object, making 20 of the same necklace or similar things.
So that experience in Portland really helped you refine the vision for what you wanted your business to be. So how to take it from something that was just arts and crafts to actually running it like a company.
Yes.
And when you moved back here to Waco, when did M Jewelry Design get started? Was that right day one you started making jewelry when you got back here?
Yes. We had gotten back to Texas, and I was lingering at my parents' house in Houston for maybe a week too long. And my mom sat me down one day, and in that conversation with her, I realized what I wanted to do was start my own line of jewelry, but I was too scared. And I was afraid I would fail. So she really encouraged me that the little quote was, you have my permission, you have Tommy's permission, you're the only person holding yourself back. And that day I had that conversation, I started designing, and then I came back to Waco the next day and talked to Tommy and to see if this was something that we could try.
What an incredible gift for your mother and Tommy to give you, just the validation that seemed like it was really necessary for you to feel strong enough and confident enough to move forward.
Absolutely.
I feel the same thing with Pokio's, in that our ice cream truck could blow up tomorrow, and at the end of the day, I'm 28 years old. My wife and I started a business together that was really successful for a period of time, and then it wasn't. And then you take that information and you build on something new. It's so hard to have that mentality when you're starting out, recognizing like, hey, you know, this could totally implode and it's never going to work. But having people around you like Tommy and your mother really allowed you to move forward with some confidence. And it seems like you've taken that and really built on that trust that they gave you. You've been a really good steward of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're here on Downtown Depot talking with Ellen Mote of M Jewelry Design. Ellen, it seems like I can't get on Instagram and not see something that you've done, or flip open the Magnolia Journal and see a spotlight on you. It seems as if recently you've gotten your jewelry into some more boutiques across the country even. Talk a little bit about the way that your jewelry design business has evolved since you returned to Waco.
Well, I can tell you it's not as easy as I was expecting. And now, a year and a half later, into the business, I am where I thought I would be from day one. And have you heard this phrase, if you build it, they will come?
I've heard it.
Okay, it is a myth. I do not believe it. But I did. And I thought, the day that I announce, hey y'all, I'm making jewelry now, check out the website, that the orders would be flowing in, wholesale accounts would be banging down my door, and that was not the case. The first year and a half was amazing, and I feel so fortunate to have that time that it was slower from the start, because I had that opportunity to really lay a foundation and get principles and practices into place so that as the business grew, it would be on the path I wanted and not like sidetracking or taking opportunities that weren't the right fit.
So take me to your lowest low in the last year and a half. I know that's a hard question. We're going to get to the high highs, but for our listeners who are interested in entrepreneurship and they want to know about the grind that somebody like you goes through, what was a time in the last year and a half where you thought, did I make the right decision? Should I have done this?
Okay. So I started the business in November 2015. So immediately it is Christmas holiday season. People are ordering for mom, sister, wife, etc. The orders are coming in. Hey, can I get a custom bracelet? Absolutely. Then it starts to trail off come January, and then February 2016, it was pretty much crickets. And I thought, I've made a huge mistake. This isn't going to work.
I feel that way every January and February with an ice cream business. So I know where you're coming from, believe me.
I can imagine.
And what was your response to yourself at that time? Like, did you change a tactic in February, or did you simply just wait until March rolled around and then it picked back up again?
Well, Tommy is definitely the backbone of the business, and he's not as emotional as I am. So he can always see the bigger picture and really encourage me that it doesn't happen overnight. Keep going. And when I first started, when I had that conversation with Tommy from the beginning, we agreed that I would try this for 6 months. And if it wasn't working, or if I wasn't happy or didn't enjoy it or whatever the circumstance may be, that I would maybe turn to a new chapter and try and get a different job, or we would just discuss a different option. So I wasn't ready to give it up, but whenever it's so easy to measure your success by sales. And so when there were no sales, it felt like, oh, this business is a dud. But I mean, haven't you had opportunities like that where you think, oh, this is over. It's time to sell the truck. Let's start something else. It's not working.
Yeah, it happens. And that there's always that sense of the imposter. Just that person inside of you that tells you, wait, you're not an entrepreneur. You're not a jewelry designer. You're not professional enough for this or educated enough for this. But you really have to find the strength inside of yourself to cut that imposter out. You don't mm-hmm. need that self-doubt. Or you can use that self-doubt to motivate you and fuel you to work even harder.
Mm-hmm.
Take me into the studio. What is a day like in your studio? What are you listening to? What time do you wake up? Tell me a little bit about the routine and what happens.
Well, I love a good schedule. So I usually get into the studio around 7:30 or 8, check emails, see if there's anything that needs to be moved to the top of the to-do list. And ideally, I'll make my to-do list the night before so that when I get in there in the morning, I'm not floundering. I know where to start. And I'll work until 12 or 1. I try to fulfill orders in the morning so that when the postman comes, they're ready to ship out.
Okay.
Work through the afternoon. Occasionally, you know, get some ice cream, get a snow cone, especially in this heat. And work until probably 5 or 6, depending on the season. Listening to every podcast you can imagine.
Yeah, what are you listening to right now? What's in the rotation?
Okay. Have you heard of Zig Ziglar?
He's a motivational speaker, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, I think he's probably more popular with an older generation, but sure. My mom turned me on to him recently, and I love his voice. So there's a Zig Ziglar podcast where he gives a little motivational talk about 7 or 8 minutes, and then there's the host of the show will dissect the talk. I really like it.
What have been some of your recent takeaways from that podcast?
Okay, I actually listened to one this morning and he was interviewing Christy Wright, she's a Dave Ramsey personality. I'm a huge, huge Dave Ramsey fan. You know, I could preach Dave Ramsey. So she talks about, she really empowers women in business, primarily women who are trying to start their own business or start something on the side. And I love her perspective because she, instead of trying to give you these special tactics on sales or marketing or da-da-da-da-da, she's just really encouraging. And sometimes you need someone to give you a little pat on the back.
One way to get encouragement is through finding a routine, getting into podcasting, having motivational speakers tell you how wonderful you are. Another way to get motivation and encouragement is by seeing the success. What has the relationship that you've had with Magnolia, what has that done for your business, and how did that relationship get started?
Well, it's been such a blessing to work with Magnolia. They're such a great company, and I feel so fortunate and so blessed that they have given EM Jewelry the honor of being a vendor in their store. It's definitely made a huge difference and given me the opportunity to grow the business in ways I didn't think I would be able to right from the start. And it started when they reached out to me some point in time in 2016 and asked if I would be interested in being a vendor. And, you know, I tried to play it cool, but I was definitely jumping up and down, smiling like it was my birthday.
And what was that first sale like?
I was so shocked. I could barely speak. Jaw to the floor, smiling, call my mom. I called probably everyone in my family, Tommy, of course. It was amazing.
And where can our Downtown Depot listeners find your jewelry? I know it's carried at Wildland.
Correct.
And a few other places in town. And I know there are places outside of town, too.
In Waco, it is available at Wildland in Magnolia. And then always through the website, which is emjewelrydesign.com.
And what's the end game with EM Jewelry Design?
You tell me. I have a big vision for it, and sometimes I think, reel it in. Can it be done? But other times, I think how it is just fine. It depends on the day.
Today, what are you thinking? Like, are you trying to be David Yurman, or are you trying to keep it more, you know, keep it more local, the one-off pieces?
If it got as big as David Yurman, I think it would be wonderful, a lot more challenging, really fun. But I'm also happy if it stays how it is. You know, the biggest challenge for me right now is I want to start a family. And it's, I don't know what that's going to look like, starting a family and owning, running the business.
I mean, can't you just have your little baby Bjorn and then your welding over on this side and put a shield over your child's eyes, make sure nothing happens?
Wouldn't that be the dream?
Yeah, that's something that Julia and I are dealing with too right now. Because we're also of the age where we've had some fun doing this ice cream truck, but you also realize there is a lot more to life than cookies and ice cream. And just figuring out how that works. And part of me thinks that you can just strap a baby on you and do almost anything. But I know that there are some ways in which my life's going to need to change because of adulthood and parenting and all that.
Sure.
What's the best thing about living in Waco, and particularly being a small business owner doing what you do?
Okay, the best thing, I'll take it two ways, personal and business. The best thing personally is the ease of life here. You can get anywhere in 5 or 10 minutes, and it's a slow pace of life. It's really relaxed, and you can hang out with your friends every night of the week if you choose. I love that. The community here. And then for business, I think it's a great place to start a business because it's a small community that you can engage with it faster, and it's easier to connect with people here, and you're not up against, I think we kind of referenced this earlier, there's not as much competition here. So you can be the best ice cream sandwich in a truck guy pretty easily.
Not very much competition for being the ice cream sandwich truck guy.
Yeah.
Well, you are the favorite local jeweler of Downtown Depot. So, Ellen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being in Waco. There are a lot of places where you could be taking your talents. You could have stayed in Portland, but we're so happy that you're here in Central Texas, and especially happy to have you as a guest on Downtown Depot. So thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's our show for this week. If you have friends who weren't able to tune in live, remember that you can share this show with them on WacoBusinessNews.com, Apple Podcasts, or the NPR One app. We'll be back with another episode on the third Friday of the month, July 21st. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.